Please be seated. And we're going to have our first reading now from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, looking forward to the mission of the servant of the Lord, who's going to come and bring God's people back from exile and comfort them and bring in the Gentile nations. And look out especially for some verses about mothers.
And you will find page 735 in the Bibles in your pews, beginning at verse 5. And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honoured in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. "Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." And continuing at verse 13. "Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." But Zion says, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." Can a mother forget the baby of her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your sons hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your sons gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, 'This place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in.' Then you will say in your heart, 'Who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from?' This is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. Kings will be your foster fathers, and their queens will your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you to you, Tony. And then Steve's going to read for us from the Gospels, something that happened when Jesus was a baby. And again, you might like to particularly listen out here to what is said to Mary, the mother of Jesus.
The reading can be found on page 1028 of your pew Bible. It is from Luke 2, starting at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Steve. Now, two sermons for the price of one today. I thought you'd be pleased. So I want to say something, first of all, about Mary, as it's Mothering Sunday, and then I want to say something about one of the verses from the prophet Isaiah. So first of all, Mary. Now, I worry that some Christians make a bit too much of Mary, but that shouldn't cause us to neglect her. She's a wonderful example of love and trust in her Saviour, her Son, Jesus. If Mary were here today, she would surely point us to Jesus. Her cousin Elizabeth calls her blessed amongst women. Just think about it. She's uniquely blessed, isn't she, to be the mother of God, to bear Jesus in her womb, to give birth to him. But particularly blessed, according to Elizabeth, because she believes God's word. According to the angel Gabriel, who announces Jesus' forthcoming birth to her, she is highly favoured. She receives God's grace, his kindness, his undeserved love. We can well understand that Mary might be troubled at the angel's greeting. I don't know about you, but it's not every day that an angel appears to me. You know, if an angel showed up, I might think I was going a bit loopy. And it gets worse because of what the angel says, that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, although she's not married. That's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Well, might she say, well, how could this be? But Mary accepts this impossible, life-upending truth. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She's a wonderful example of faithful obedience. In her great song, the Magnificat, which we sang that version of, she speaks about God's purposes to lift up the humble and bring down the proud, and for God to fulfill all his covenant promises. When the shepherds come to visit Jesus when he's born, we're told that Mary treasures up all these things and ponders them in her heart. A great example to us to think about these things and reflect on them prayerfully. We read that a sword would pierce Mary's soul. It must have been terrible for her to see her son crucified. Mary uniquely there at Jesus' birth and at his death. And it's understandable that Mary and Joseph were sometimes astonished at Jesus. Remember that incident when he was 12 years old, where they go to the temple and Jesus somehow gets left behind, stays behind, and they discover it a bit later. Then they panic, they go to look for him, and Jesus says to them, well, didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? And they think, no, we were freaked out, we were panicking. Or think of the wedding at Cana. Mary says to Jesus, Jesus, wine crisis. And Jesus says to her something like, what is it to you and to me, woman? What has got to do with me? Why are you bothering me? Almost cheeky, rude, maybe. My hour has not yet come, he says. But Mary doesn't get all offended. She just says to the servants, well, do whatever he tells you. Do what Jesus says. Again, it's very good advice, isn't it? Possibly there's a time in the Gospels where Jesus' family think he's gone out of his mind with all this I'm the Son of God business. There's a woman who cries out from the crowd to Jesus, blessed is the mother who gave birth to you and nursed you. But Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear my word, the word of God, and obey it. There's a blessing we can all share in. Jesus looks at those seated around him there in a circle, listening to him teaching, and says, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. We too can belong to the family of God by hearing and believing Jesus' word. Well, sermon almost over. Just one thought from Isaiah in our reading. We read that question in verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Now, I wonder if any of the under 18s know what sort of question they might call that if we were in grammar class, if this was an English lesson. Can a mother forget her baby? What sort of question do you think that might be? Taffy. I did this in assembly this week. It was hard then too. Grown-ups, any ideas? A rhetorical question. Well done. Thank you very much for saving me. A rhetorical question. So what is a rhetorical question? That's not one. It doesn't need an answer, yeah. Or at least it's not really expected. Yeah. So the person isn't really asking for information when they ask this question, are they? They're trying to persuade. Rhetoric is the art of persuasion. It's a question which is part of an argument. So, for example, say you go home today and mum says to you, do I look stupid? You don't say to her, well, mum, actually, you don't look terribly intelligent. There's a bit of sort of thickness about your face. Or if she says, do you think I was born yesterday? You don't say, well, actually, mum, I've been thinking how old you've been looking. So these are rhetorical questions they're meant to persuade. So what about this question? Can a mother forget her baby? What is the answer to that, do you think? No, sounds pretty unlikely, doesn't it? I've got four children. I can remember them. In fact, we gave them quite a lot of names. And if, like, pushed and I had a good run-up, I could probably remember all their names. Parents normally remember their children, don't they? But what did the Bible verse say? Can a mother forget her children? Well, yeah, perhaps sometimes she might. You know, sadly, parents don't always look after their children as well as they should, do they? But the Bible reading says this: even if a mother should forget her child, I won't forget you, my people, the Lord says. God's love is the best ever sort of love. And always loving, never giving up, never forgetting, always and forever love. God's love, the love divine, all love excels. There's a remarkable verse 16. God says to his people, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Don't know if you ever do this. Sometimes when I want to remember something, I write it on my hand. It's a bit stupid, really, because sometimes I then wash. And then I've got to try and make out what these sort of blurs are. It's not really the best way of remembering. But God says, well, I've got my people engraved on the palm of my hands permanently. God's love is sure and strong and lasts forever. And I think we can't really help thinking of the cross when we read that. Our names engraved on the palms of God's hands. And then think of the cross as the ultimate demonstration of God's unstoppable love for us. There's a hymn which says this: the promises of God are yes and amen, and were never forfeited yet. Things future nor things that are now, not all things below or above, could make God his purpose forego, or sever my soul from his love. Oldie worldy poetry language, saying, nothing can ever stop God from loving his people. My name from the palm of God's hands, eternity could not erase. Impressed on God's heart, our names remain in marks of indelible grace. You could never get rid of them. So may God give us grace, like Mary, to treasure up these things and to ponder them in our hearts. May we respond, like her, to God our Saviour with humble, obedient faith. And may we know God best of all, never failing, never giving up love. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for your love. Help us never to forget Jesus and what he has done for us, we pray. Give us grace to believe your word, to live in the light of it, and to show something of your love to others, for Jesus' sake. Amen.